Well, to begin with, I'd like to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. But this weekend, we also celebrate the feast day of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. You know, the church teaches that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our Christian life. And St. John Paul II told us the Eucharist is the heart of the church. And where the Eucharist is, life flourishes. And there, the life of the church will blossom. The Eucharist is considered the lifeblood of the church because the host that is consecrated by the priest at Mass, we believe that we are receiving the actual body and blood of Christ. You know, recently, what Catholics believe about the Eucharist has been in the news, especially in regards to the debate whether some Catholic politicians should be denied communion, and also brings up the teaching of the Church regarding what the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist is. And actually, a recent survey showed that a significant number of Catholics believe the Eucharist is only symbolic and not the actual body and blood of Christ. In response, the U.S. bishops have published in November a document called The Mystery of the Eucharist and the Life of the Church, trying to explain the Church's teaching. It's not a long document. It's only about 30 pages, and you can find it online. But they also called for a national Eucharistic revival. It's a three-year invitation to the Church and its members to renew our love for our Lord in the Eucharist. And it begins this feast day of Corpus Christi. In today's gospel, we have the miracle story of the multiplication of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd of 5,000. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets. All 4 Gospels have the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. In one of them, though, in John's Gospel, we have where the next day the people who followed Jesus and found him. And Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And then he went on to say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." And the people questioned him regarding what he meant. And he replied, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And again, the Jews quarreled among themselves. "How can this be?" But Jesus didn't back down. He said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." You know, many walked away, including many of his disciples. He thought, this is crazy talk. No man can do that. He didn't call them back saying, "You misunderstood me." No, he let them go. And then he asked his apostles if they wanted to leave. And Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, if Jesus was only a man, what Jesus said would be impossible. However, if we believe that Jesus is divine, which at that time they didn't, it's very possible that because for God, all things are possible. You know, didn't Jesus change the substance of several large jars of water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana? Or didn't he just multiply a large number of loaves and fish such that 5,000 people could be filled and satisfied? Or didn't in Genesis, when God said, "Let there be light," there was light? So if he is God, couldn't he say, this is my body, and it becomes his body? Or this is my blood, and it becomes his blood? You know, from Isaiah, we heard, for God's word does not return empty, but comes back fulfilling that which was spoken. Jesus did say, for those who believe in me, that is his divinity, will never hunger and thirst. He was tying it to faith in his divinity. He was speaking of the spiritual food. Since the time of the Reformation, Protestant leaders would argue that Jesus was only talking symbolically. He didn't really mean we were to eat or drink his actual flesh and blood. And they refer to the times that Jesus would symbolically sometimes refer to himself as divine or the narrow gate to make a point. But when Jesus did that, he only used a few verses to explain. Here he takes over 70 verses to clarify what he means. Besides, if he really thought the people misunderstood him and what he was saying, why didn't he call them back and clarify his statements? And he didn't do that. See, we believe that the Lord Jesus at the Last Supper, as our Savior, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood. And when he held the bread and he said, this is my body, it actually was. And when he held the cup of wine and said, it's my blood, it actually was. Since he was God, he had the ability by his word to change the substance of bread into his body and the wine into his blood. At each Mass, in an ordained priest, acting in the person of Christ, saying the Eucharistic prayer, calls on God to send the Holy Spirit to transform the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, using the words that Jesus used at the Last Supper. The transformed bread and wine are truly the body and blood of Christ and are not merely symbols. That's what the church teaches, and that's what we believe. Though the bread and wine appears the same to our human senses, they are actually the real body and blood of Jesus. You know, in the Gospels, Jesus was present in one time and in the Eucharist. But in the Eucharist, he made himself present everywhere throughout all time. The Eucharist was given to us so he could remain with us. He said, I want to be with you at all times. Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. And as such, we need to treat the Eucharist with great reverence, for Christ is truly present to us. So when we enter a church or come in front of a tabernacle, we genuflect or bow before the Blessed Sacrament. And when we're preparing to receive communion, we refrain from food and drink for at least 1 hour. And when we receive the Eucharist, we need to be in the right disposition and free of serious sin. We also take opportunities to worship Christ in the Blessed Sacrament in other forms, like benediction, which we have opportunity at church, you can find in the bulletin, or into Eucharistic processions like we're going to have tomorrow, or in when we have 40 hours devotions. This is all time that we could be in the presence of Jesus himself, one-on-one. In a lot of ways, this is the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist is unique, and because God is present everywhere, but in the Eucharist, it's in a special form, unique form for us to be closer to him. I remember hearing one person talk about how he travels a lot, and when he's gone from his wife, he gives her a phone call, and he's glad to make that phone call, but he would really prefer to be in her presence. And so we would prefer to be in the actual presence of Christ like we could be during adoration or benediction or here at Mass. You know, someone who demonstrated a great love for both the Eucharist and the Blessed Mother, Mary, and is a role model, here's our own beloved St. Julian Emar. You know, he was attracted to the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and he loved to spend time in adoration. And during one feast of Corpus Christi, St. Julian had a powerful religious experience. As he carried the sacred host in possession, he felt the presence of Jesus like a warmth from a fireplace. The host seemed to be about the spiritual and material needs of all people. So he begged that the mercy and love of Jesus would touch everyone, as he had been touched through the Eucharist. And St. Julian then attributed an inspiration of his to start a religious order of priest adorers of the Holy Eucharist to the Blessed Mother, with whom he also had a great devotion. And they became known as the Priests of the Blessed Sacrament. 2 years after the order of the priests had begun, St. Julian began an order of sisters, the servants of the Blessed Sacrament. And like the priests, these sisters had a special love for Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. And they devoted their lives to adoration of Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. And the name of our parish, with the title Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, was first given to Mary by St. Julian in May 1868 while speaking to us novices. And a few years later, he described what that statue should look like. The Blessed Virgin holds the infant in her arms, and he holds a chalice in one hand and a host in the other. And he encouraged them to invoke Mary, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament, pray for us who have recourse to thee. You know, there's a quote that they used in the document that the bishops put together, and it's one from Dorothy Day. We go eat of this fruit of the tree of life because Jesus told us to. He took upon himself our humanity that we might share in his divinity. We are nourished by his flesh that we may grow to be other Christs. You know, when we're baptized, we are adopted by God as his sons and daughters. But we were also anointed with the oil of salvation to be priests, prophets, and kings to others, just like Christ was. We have the same mission as Christ, to bring the good news to all and to grow the kingdom. You might say that's the family business. But as we encounter the real presence of Christ through the reception of the Eucharist and become more like Christ, we need to bring Christ to the culture and world we live in through our words and actions. And that is why at the end of Mass, you're instructed to go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. And we need to let them know that God is real and present and he loves them.